Hello, hello. Welcome again to another Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast.
Hello.
Number 15. No topic, no problem.
No problem at all.
Today, we don't exactly have a topic today. We were going to have an interview, but it got pushed out to next week. A little teaser there for you. So this week, we're just going to discuss the news and riff about what we always riff about. So it should be a good one. Thank you guys again for listening. If you want to find out more about us, skibumpodcast.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, Twitter, at Ski Bum Podcast, or send us an email at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Today, with me, as always, Mario, what's going on?
Hello. Had a good week. I'm ready for this podcast. Doing it again on a Friday, which is pretty nice. Fridays are always good, a little fun atmosphere. We got a little, you know, excitement going on. And this week we're flipping things up, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a little bit different this week. It's a nice Friday, and we have a special guest with us today.
Yeah.
Hello, special guest.
Hello.
Yes, that is the lovely Andrea, my ex-girlfriend, current wife.
Oh, boom.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have it. What do you think of our awesome setup here?
So professional.
This is your first time.
You guys are so grown up. I love it.
This is your first time being on a podcast, right?
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
You feel like a celebrity, don't you?
I was so nervous before. But thank God for the two-hour, you know, preface to everything.
Why are you knocking down the fourth wall? You can't be letting our secrets out there.
Sorry.
I think what was really helping you was the weekly flavor.
Yeah.
Oh, the weekly flavor. That's
there
the music
you go.
Now
that's the weekly flavor music.
It's coming on.
So, Mario, what are we drinking today?
So, we're all drinking the same thing, which is... usually don't do that often, but it's kind of cool that we are doing that.
Kind of a special beverage.
Yeah, so we've had this in the fridge now for a little while. Very good brew. So we have a Rogue, which makes a very special... This is something that comes out... How many times a year is it? Twice?
Well, I think they have about three of them right now available, three different kinds.
And Brian and I sampled this a long time ago at the time when they did the... Bacon maple donut flavored ale.
Yes, it's the good folks at the Rogue Brewery.
Yeah,
they have their Voodoo Donut special, and if you don't know, Voodoo Donut is a donut shop that started in Portland. There could be other ones, but I know the first one was out of Portland, and they do really kind of funky, cool donuts. And the drink we have today is the Lemon Chiffon Cruller Ale.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got to say, I thought it was going to be... I didn't know really what to expect. I expected like a donut flavor, but it has like this flavor of the inside of like a lemon curler, lemon-filled curler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a little bit of... not like fake lemon, but kind of fake lemon flavor to it. But like real donut flavored.
Like if you close your eyes, you could really believe that you are tasting that inside of the donut. I don't know. It says made with... made with lemon and natural flavors, so be interested to see how that's done, because they got the flavor right on.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Funky. Yeah, it's good. So there's that one that they have, the lemon chiffon cruller that we're drinking right now. They also have the bacon maple, which we've had before,
that
which
one
is
was
pretty
awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
they have a chocolate peanut butter and banana. Had it once, a little weird.
Yeah,
just gonna throw that out there. And they also have a pretzel raspberry and chocolate ale.
Which could
be interesting.
This is like a good dessert, you know what I mean? Like we went out, we ate something, had a little steak, and now this is our little dessert treat.
Nice little highfalutin meal.
Highfalutin.
A little steak action. But yeah, this beer is pretty good. It's worth checking out.
And you can't miss the bottle. It's bright pink. You would imagine it's supporting breast cancer, right? Like a portion of this should go to breast cancer, but I don't think that's the case.
It's giant and pink.
Yeah.
And I'll tweet out a picture of the bottle as well so you can, you know, save it. Get that out there and go find your own, because it's worth trying. It's good, especially in the summertime.
I want to try the sriracha one.
Yeah.
That
Rogue
looks really good.
Rogue also has a sriracha hot stout, which is pretty awesome because, you know, if you guys are familiar with sriracha, you know, the red spicy chili sauce, it's a red bottle with a green cap, the beer.
Nice.
So it looks just like the bottle, which is pretty cool. So maybe we'll try that in the near future.
Now, Andrew, you like spice, huh?
So I sure do. It's delish.
So you like the spicy drinks. We were in Atlantic City, and Brian got this spicy cocktail. It was like some kind of, it wasn't really a martini. It was
more like a margarita-ish kind of mezcal. It was mezcal and lime juice and something
else. And there's
else.
Sriracha, I think, in it too. Mm-hmm. And it was, he was trying to choke that down because he was not in the mood for that much like hot stuff.
Yeah.
And it was pretty spicy, I got to say, for a drink. It was good, but it was just a little spicy.
Yeah, the mezcal adds that smoky sort of flavor to it.
It's good, but you really have to be in the mood for it. If you want something that's subtly spicy and you get that, you're like, whoa, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Give it a try. What the hell?
A little dash of cayenne.
Yeah.
Hey, you like Bloody Marys too, right?
Yeah, I do. I like Bloody Marys.
I've tried Bloody Marys. I got to say, I really have tried a lot. Just not my thing.
I tried again last week and I still hate them.
Did you? Nothing changed?
Still hate them. Yep. This many years later. All right, so we're going to hit the ski news now. And, you know, it's this time of year where, I'll be honest, this to me is the absolute worst time of year because you're so far away from the last time you skied and you're still almost equidistant, if not further, than the next time you will ski. So you'd think, seeing as how it's the last week in June, there's not a lot of ski news. But no, good listeners, we have drum up plenty of good ski news for you this week.
Yeah, there's a lot. We had it was easy to find stuff. I mean,
yeah. So the first bit of news is this was the second worst ski season ever in the U.S.
Now that's the total U.S. Now we were blessed by being on the East Coast.
Yeah, that was the total U.S. and I think it was based on visitors.
Yeah, they said it was like a 5% decrease in people going to ski.
Yeah, the national skier visits for 2014 through 2015 was 53.6 million, which in the 5 years, that is the second worst. Only time worse was 2011 to 2012, which was 50.97 million.
Hmm. Wow.
And
you wouldn't know it being on the East Coast, though, because we got pounded with snow.
Yeah, East Coast was great. The West Coast, they really had a rough year. But
it was a late year, too, right? Didn't they get a lot of late snow?
California did.
Yeah. And they're in a drought still, so they're...
Colorado? Desperate. Yeah, Colorado still had some decent snow. But, yeah, it was rough for out west. But, yeah, New England was awesome. We had a great year this year.
And along with that article, so it's funny, as we're looking at stuff, we find that article, and then another one came out, I think this was more recent, and they said even though there was a decline in visitors out west and people going skiing... They said Colorado got the lion's share, and overall, there was an increase in revenue for skiing this year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that can be attributed to, but there's definitely something where people are doing more activities at ski mountains, maybe, or going to visit.
Yeah, I guess Colorado, too, is the place where everyone, when they come, at least from out east, they go to Colorado out west, and they spend a week there, a lot of times Christmas. So, they'll plan their trips not depending on the snow. They're just ready to go. They're going to set it up. Family's going to go out there. They're going to have a week out in Colorado. And
there's recreational things to do in Colorado, too, so that might have something to do with it.
There is.
I'm just saying.
One of only a few states that has it legal. Yes, there is plenty of recreation out there.
Yes.
But, yeah, kind of, piggybacking on that story, there was another story on Teton about Colorado and the amount of snowpack they still have. This is from about a week ago, this story, and they're saying that the Pacific Northwest and Colorado, or I'm sorry, California, are in a big drought. But parts of Colorado, I think it was right around the Telluride area, has 8,000% water capacity from snow.
That's crazy.
Actually, it's the snow water equivalent is 8,600% above the normal median.
That's crazy.
And then Colorado's snowpack is at a high statewide, coming in at 212%. The state is now running into concerns of high water and severe flooding.
Wow.
While, two states away in California, they're in the worst drought in how many hundreds of years?
Well, Colorado also with the, they feed a lot of other states around them. So that's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Just, I got to say, I'm thinking that we're going to have another glacier out in Colorado, the new glacier.
I think we need that.
As some glaciers disappear, other ones maybe reappear. That's what I'm thinking.
Ooh.
Have a nice Colorado glacier. Glacier skiing all year round.
Oh, that would be lovely. All right. So, now we're going down under-ish to New Zealand. Treble Cone, New Zealand opens Thursday, 100% terrain open.
They got pounded with snow.
They got slaughtered last week, yeah. They got so much snow.
Like, that area is, like, New Zealand is just getting pounded all, like, we've talked about it for, like, 2-3 weeks now that they've just getting pounded and pounded. Worse, I mean, they're getting pounded more than a porn star right now.
Hey-o. Yeah, they're getting 64 inches of snow depth already in Saddle Basin and 50 inches in Home Basin. So they have tons of snow. So you know what? If you got your private jet ready to go, hop on it, head to New Zealand, get some runs. Maybe come back for dinner, go back tomorrow, you know?
I'd like to go to New Zealand. I don't know. Would you guys like to go?
I would love to go.
I've never been. Have you been?
No.
You're a world traveler, so you've been around.
Yeah, I've been to Australia, but that's not really.
Is there any skiing? No, there's nothing.
They're skiing in New South Wales. Ooh. They're skiing down there.
Not old South Wales, only new.
Only the new.
Well, I didn't ski when I was there. It was actually the opposite season. So it was when I was in high school. It was kind of interim semester, so like January. So it was summer.
Wow.
In Australia. So.
When did you learn how to ski?
I learned, well, I started, I was around like 8 or 9, and I started, my very first ski run was at Butternut.
Nice.
Yeah, but.
That's in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, I believe. Yeah. All
right, so I don't feel so bad. Like,
Yeah.
But then where did you ski after that?
Well, when I was about 11, 12 years old, my family moved to Oslo, Norway.
Boom. Nice.
So there was. It's beautiful, first of all. It's not really known for its downhill skiing. Yes, in 94 they had the Olympics, but yeah. It's more of a cross-country skiing country. So it's...
Well, Netflix, they have a show, right? Lilyhammer?
Yeah, Lilyhammer.
Which is a funny show. If anybody... We love Netflix, and they did 3 seasons. You didn't see the 3rd season, right?
I didn't see the 2nd season either.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Did we even finish the first one?
I think we finished the first one, yeah.
Giovanni Hendrickson.
Giovanni Hendrickson.
Right. Yeah.
So you were there, and you were you did downhill skiing there?
And yeah, I did both. I did downhill and cross country.
A lot of cross country, right?
A lot of cross country. Wow. It's huge there, in fact.
That seems like a lot of work.
The Nordic combined.
It is. It's a lot of work, but it's a great exercise. I mean, that's how some people commute via cross country skis.
That's
like,
that's pretty that's awesome.
You
nice
see
commute.
Women in like long skirts, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Just skiing away.
Well, that's one of those things too. Like, I don't know. Maybe I never thought about it, but when you hear of like alpine skiing, alpine Alps, that's downhill skiing pretty much. And then when you have Nordic skiing, that's really the Nordic areas. Scandinavia cross-country skiing.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe I'm stupid, but I that never put those two together, so
yeah,
you know.
See, I'm a little uncultured, so when I think of Nordic skiing, I think of like Thor skiing.
I think of the Nordic track.
The Nordic track too. That works. Or the Nordic combined. That is an amazing Olympic event.
So Nordic combined, is that cross-country skiing and ski jumping?
Yeah. Yes. Or is it biathlon and ski jumping? I gotta look that up, because I remember seeing it on the Olympics and being like, this amazed me. I think it was biathlon and jumping. And I'm like, why can't they combine all three? And like, you ski jump and shoot while you're jumping.
Wow. I just looked it up, and there is no shooting in the Nordic combined.
Nordic
combined is a winter sport in which athletes compete in cross-country skiing and ski jumping.
Yeah, that just seems like a weird mix, too.
Yeah, it is. It's like two opposite things.
Yeah.
It's almost like a beer with donuts in it.
Oh, boom.
So sometimes those two things that seem weird and opposite work together.
It's like the peanut butter and the chocolate, right?
Well, it kind of goes along. I know there's the Nordic combined, and then there's the biathlon, and the biathlon is the cross country skiing plus the target shooting.
Those guys are amazing.
I think there should be an X Games version of that.
Yes,
where you're doing downhill skiing with like a GAT, and you got to shoot targets on the side of the mountain as you're skiing downhill as fast as you can.
That'd be pretty wild.
That would be awesome.
I wouldn't want to be a spectator there, but I'd watch it on TV.
Holding your gun sideways? Check yourself, fool!
You know, somebody's going to fall and like spray the crowd or something like that. That's going to be bad.
It's like a bad Chris Tucker movie.
It is. Yeah.
But now, think about how many people would watch that if that was on TV.
Oh, I'd be glued to the TV.
Would anybody miss that?
No. It'd be like, I would be glued to the TV just like curling. Now, if you involve like you curl and you ski jump, now you're talking my business right here.
Curling.
Something involving the ski jump.
Oh, have the whole team, the whole curling team on it like a toboggan.
At the end, and the person with the curling stone jumps, and when they land, they put the stone down. And so you ski jump, and then you...
I was thinking the whole team's on a toboggan, and they had to push off the stone as they jumped off the ski jump. That could work, too.
That sounds terrifying,
like
too.
Like a basketball court, like a whole basketball court going down the ski jump together.
All right, so that's where we went.
Damn you, rogue voodoo donut, lemon cruller ale.
So we're back, and you're in Norway, and you didn't do any of this stuff that we're talking about, right?
No, unfortunately.
You know anybody that ski jumps?
No, I never met anyone that ski jumps, actually.
But you had a friend you went to school with who was a ski racer now, right?
Yeah, he is now, actually. Nice. Thanks to Facebook, I know that. Just seeing his pictures. I believe he skis for the British team now, but really? I think he's Dutch. Yeah.
The Dutch? Oh, yeah. They took over a Dutchman, huh?
Well, I went to...
Flying Dutchman.
Went to a British school when I was there. That's probably why, you know.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I got to ski on Kvitfjell and Hafjell, which are the Olympic slopes.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool. And it was 1994, so it was like right after the Olympics.
That's so awesome.
I just remember seeing the final, you know, at the bottom of the hill, and you're just going through, and it's like, wow, this is where they were.
That's awesome.
So. Yeah.
That's one place we'll have to go over to Norway, to do some skiing.
Yeah, I want to do that whole...
We have a connection.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got connections there, so we can make that happen.
Yeah.
My dad's over there all the time.
That's a highfalutin trip.
That is highfalutin.
I like that.
We're international, so we should keep expanding.
We are. That's true. That would be a great trip to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd actually love to go visit all Scandinavia.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That'd be highfalutin.
That would be.
I think I'd do it in the summer on my bike, because they have bike tours out there.
Yep.
So you bike all over the place.
Yeah.
Do you know what countries constitute Scandinavia?
Not really. It's all Scandinavia.
Norway?
Yeah.
Sweden? And Denmark?
And?
Finland?
Finland.
I thought Finland didn't count.
I think it does.
I don't think it does. We're looking it up.
According to the Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast, it doesn't.
I don't know. I think I've looked this up before, and I think that's why I asked it, because it's a trick question.
I think the Netherlands annexed it. That's why.
I thought it was.
I'm getting mixed results.
Really?
Some people are saying... So here we go. Wikipedia. Why would Wikipedia lie to us? It says there are three countries.
Oh, wow.
Finland not included.
But that's Wikipedia. That I could have updated that just now.
That doesn't we can show. Look. Maybe it did. It used to be.
I'm going to consider it as part of my trip to Scandinavia. Ooh. How about that?
See, here it says that Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Iceland
are part of it.
But now it says history: Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden. So you know what?
Whatever you want to consider it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't see that. I don't see Scandinavia in the Olympics. So. We'll just call it whatever we want.
All right, so it looks like the three monarchies, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, are of the strictest definition, while the possible extended usage, Ireland, Faroe Islands, and Finland.
Whew. I think you have to ask somebody from that country to see, do you consider yourself part of Scandinavia or not?
I think they're biased out there.
I'm sure everybody has their own opinion. Yeah.
But then there's the use of Nordic countries versus Scandinavia. The terminology is different.
It's kind of like asking people in Quebec, do you consider yourself part of Canada? They'll be like, no, I don't.
While the term Scandinavia is commonly used for Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, the term the Nordic countries is used unambiguously for Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Iceland, including their associated territories, Greenland, the Faroe Islands, and the Åland Islands. So, there's a difference there.
Ipso facto. You just ipso facto that.
Dropping the mic.
It wasn't a topsy-turvy. Dropping the mic. Ipso facto.
Yep. So there. Scandinavia. Three countries. Possibly Iceland and Finland, depending on your definition.
All right. Like that.
All right.
Nice history lesson.
We're learning things here. That's what the Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast is all about. If you go to skibumpodcast.com, you will probably learn lots of other cool things.
Like if kids are like studying for history right now and they're allowed to listen to us, which is, you know, probably not recommended.
It actually means they have awesome parents. Yes. Is what it means.
Then we're dropping some knowledge.
We're just really smart kids.
Smart. He's smart.
All right, what do we got next? What's our next story?
All right, so the next story kind of goes to what we were talking about before, about the increase in revenue in ski revenue, even though we had like less people going to ski. Mm-hmm. So ski passes, there's a lot of companies that are packaging ski passes now with multi-mountain. And they actually said overall there's an increase in people buying ski passes for the season. So that kind of fits along with, you know, the whole, I think they said it's a little bit over 6% increase in buying ski passes while you still had 5% less people going skiing.
Well, then those numbers make a lot more sense because people could buy these, you know, $1,000, $2,000 passes.
Right.
And make four visits.
Right. So if you count the number of visits per person, maybe, you know, they still bought the pass, but then the actual visits go down. So, but yeah, so we, there's a lot that, you know, people find out there, and we've talked about a few of these, like, you know, snow.com has the Epic Pass, that's like Colorado, Utah, California, and a bunch of others. And, you know, multi-mountain, you know, it's like, I think 12 mountains. Mountain Collective is huge. That's like Western U.S. and Canada. So
that one's really cool. Yeah, that Mountain Collective pass. Yeah. It includes 18 days of skiing split at 2 days apiece between 9 North American destinations: Alta Snowbird, Aspen Snowmass, Jackson Hole, Mammoth, Lake Louise, Squaw Valley, Sun Valley, Whistler Blackcomb, and Threadbow Alpine Resort.
Hmm. Nice. It's a lot.
That's really cool.
It's a lot of traveling, too.
And then other affiliations allow pass holders to ski 2 days in Hakuba Valley in Japan or Valle Nevado in Chile.
Nice.
And then you get a 50% discount on lift tickets after those first 2 days.
Oh, wow.
That would be such an awesome pass to have and to use for a year.
Yeah, not just to have. Because it wasn't that expensive, was it?
I don't think it. I think it was like, what, like $400 or something?
It didn't.
We definitely need to look that up before putting that out there as being the ipso facto.
$389.
Yeah, so it was for
18 days at all these destinations.
Because they probably have some sort of algorithm there saying like, well, you know, we'll sell these, and of them, people will probably use like 40% of it.
Right.
Because who can go to all those places?
They're
in one
pretty
year?
Spread out. Yeah, they're going to use the ones that are close to them. Obviously,
one day, one season, we are going to make that happen.
Even better than that. And it's actually...
What could be better than that?
There's one pass that is absolutely the top-notch pass. It's good for you. It's good for skiing. And it's good to support the country. It is... It is the USAA Gold Pass. So the U.S. Olympic team has part of one of their donations. You can actually buy this pass. It's
$10,000. $10,000.
Three zeros.
10,000. You got to say like
Dr. one Michael. Coma, single one, coma,
single coma. No trace commas. No those comas. But yeah, so that pass, it's $250 resorts, they say. But looking at the list, it's pretty much almost everything you could imagine that you'd want to ski. You know, even the local stuff is on it. I mean, you'd have to look hard to see what's not on there.
And yes, and it does include Yagoo Valley Ski Area and Water Park in Slocum, Rhode Island.
See, in case people
are
wondering. So it gives you unlimited exclusive access. So you get to walk on. You don't even have to go. You just walk on, supposedly, to everywhere.
This could be the coolest thing ever invented.
It is
for a skier.
It is the ballerest thing you can
have. I mean,
have.
Everything is on here. You know, Vail, Big Sky, Truckee, I mean, Breckenridge, Telluride, everything. Everything imaginable is on here.
So you get to go everywhere. You get to walk on, just like a baller. Just boom, I'm on. And everybody knows you're a patriot because you're supporting the country.
Yeah. $10,000.
You also get some other invitations to special events, World Cup
competitions. I wonder if they have like a Costco like six-pack discount. So if we get... So we'll need three for us. And then we'll have to get seconds.
Yeah.
Well, get extra in case you want seconds.
Right? Well, they are transferable, it says.
So how does that work? You just kind of hand it to a pal and they can use it?
I don't know if they put your picture on it or you have to... You might be able to like sell it to somebody or use it for part of the year or something.
Yeah, I think if you can't use it, you could just transfer it to their name.
Yeah.
And I like to... You have to reserve it.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be this huge line of people paying for this $10,000 pass.
It's a pretty baller-ass pass, though. Think about it, right?
Oh, it's fantastic.
You get a VIP tour of Center of Excellence in Park City, Utah, which Brian had an idea for a product, which I won't mention.
Oh, it may show up on the Highfalutin Ski Bump store if there ever is one in the fall, maybe. SkiBumpPodcast.com, check it out.
You get, you know, subscription to a magazine, just a bunch of other stuff.
And you get it engraved with 27 characters, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
Common engravings are names, phone numbers, or your net wealth. Because, I mean, you have 27 characters, so you can probably fit most of it in there. A lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros and a lot of commas.
A lot of commas.
Well, one of the things, too, like...
Cuatro commas.
So one of the things they don't mention here is, I know for a fact, because I actually work with somebody whose husband is actually an Olympic coach, and there are people that get invited to Olympic Village. So if you do go out to the Olympics, they will invite certain people that have made donations into the village to hang out with some of the teams, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
And you don't get that unless, like, it's an invite only. They get tickets. They, you know, so it's kind of a known thing that this is what happens with the Olympics. And it's good because, you know, they're giving back what they can to people that have supported them and their training and stuff. So it's a great cause. I mean, you know, and it's partially tax deductible. So, you know, it's a true donation.
That's so cool.
I think I'd buy 4 or 5.
Just in case.
Just to have my entourage.
Keep one in each house.
Well, I have to have my ski Sherpa. So the person that skis with me that carries like the 2-3 sets of skis, depending on what I'm going to ski, then there's...
But what if you just get a ski drone and you allow the Sherpa to operate the drone from off the mountain? So that means you would need to pay for a pass for him.
But what state are we skiing in? Because certain states, you're allowed to shoot them down, right?
I believe there are towns in Colorado that allow you to shoot down drones if they're...
Which isn't a bad idea.
For now.
Just saying, you might have to have multiple drones then.
But what if Amazon starts delivering using the drones? And say you ordered...
Can you shoot them down?
What if you ordered 4 dozen eggs and someone shot down your drone delivering your eggs?
No eggs.
That's going to ruin your day.
They're going to take a drone.
You will have no frittata.
And fly it.
Unless you will be, the eggs were frozen.
You will be frittata free.
Yeah, that's a good point. What if the eggs are frozen?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
It's pretty cold. Like, the eggs are going and they're freezing all on the way. They got a little wind chill factor. They're up, you know, higher. Yeah. I think you might have frozen eggs.
It would hurt maybe more, but it wouldn't break. Or at least the inside wouldn't break.
I wonder if you freeze the egg and you do the egg drop challenge.
Oh.
Like, I wonder if your egg survives. It's got to be a better chance.
I did that once. I think it was like 6th or 7th grade, the egg drop challenge. Yeah. And I was such a lazy, shitty kid. I just put like a bunch of styrofoam, the peanuts, the little packing peanuts. I put a plastic bag with an egg and some packing peanuts, and they just chucked it off, and it was just like splatter.
Wrap some paper towel around it.
Laziest, stupid kid ever.
All right, I got mine in a bag of popcorn with a little bit of cotton balls, and it worked.
Did it
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dropped it from like 3 stories.
Wait a minute. So my idea was kind of similar to yours, but mine failed epically.
You not enough packing, right?
Not enough packing.
Yeah.
I guess the key is to make sure the egg stays centered, which is the tricky part. Because you can have, or you pack the popcorn tight enough where it kind of gets lodged in there and it's nowhere to
just
go.
It was just the instant bag, you know, one of those. Just.
But out of an entire class, like how many people's eggs actually survive?
Ours was maybe 10% tops.
That's it?
Yeah. See?
So if you just have a naked egg and drop it, you're with the 90% that still got the same result, failed.
That's true.
And you spent less time.
That's true. So you're really a big winner then.
Big winner.
Yep.
That's the smart money.
I think my class actually had a pretty high pass rate there.
Was that in Norway?
It was in Singapore.
Oh, that doesn't count.
The geniuses. Why doesn't that count?
Because there's like humidity and stuff, and that changes everything.
The semiconductor in it. But they know how to make stuff like work.
They dropped it in the water probably, right?
It was an American high school.
That sounds
I know we're smart, but...
Wicked smart.
Not in America, though.
Yeah, you couldn't do it in America.
No,
there's some good American minds. I don't know. I didn't see them, though.
Yeah.
When I was
growing
up.
Weren't in my class, that's for sure.
They weren't in my class.
Just us.
Just us.
We're smart.
But I like that idea. So if I get a big bag of popcorn and I put myself in it, I could probably jump off a mountain.
It's pretty much like a wingsuit.
That's awesome.
You know? It's a delicious wingsuit.
Oh, that's even better. Like, it cushions you even more.
Totally.
It'll slow you down, and then you get the popcorn goodness, like, putting you around.
And if you crash, you got snacks.
That's right. If they can't get to you, let's say you jump off a ravine, and they can't get to you, you could eat the popcorn.
There's no downside at all.
You might have to drink your own pee, though, if they can't get to you.
And maybe not...
Nutrients.
Maybe not a lot of butter, because, you know, that's kind of fattening.
But wouldn't that lube up the crash?
That's like a party... But I think that would be that's bad. Like a party jump.
That would be better, probably.
Lubing up the popcorn is probably a bad idea.
No, it's a good idea.
Lube is always good.
Lube up the popcorn. All righty. We got another ski story. This was taken from Liftopia. They recently just had a list out of 8 of the world's most famous ski runs. So some of these are pretty cool, and some of them we've actually been to, so that's why we're going to bring it up.
Are these numbered?
They are.
You start from back to front?
I don't think they're really ordered in any particular reason.
I like the roll-up to number one.
Well, that doesn't really matter, let's be honest. All right, the first one is Streif at Kitzbühel in Austria.
Kitzbühel.
Yeah. Number two is Corbett's out in Jackson Hole. Corbett's.
Couloir.
Couloir.
Couloir. Couloir.
Is that Steve?
Hey, guys. I'd love to go to Jackson Hole and ski at the Couloir.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, we had 3 microphones. We still didn't have one for Steve, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. But
next time, brother. Next time, brother. We'll get you on there. So, number the next one. Number the next one.
Number the next one.
Number the next one. We
number
have
C.
Hidden Valley in Cortina, Italy.
Oh, it was not Hidden Valley in New Jersey?
Hidden Valley Ranch? That's delicious salad.
Hidden
delicious
Valley's salad right dressing. Next to Mountain Creek, and that's a pretty well-known ski area. Are you sure it's
not? No, this would be Hidden Valley in Cortina d'Ampezzo.
Ah, Italy. I went to Cortina.
Did you ski there?
I think I skied through there. That was one of... Because there are a lot of places that are just connected with the same ski pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the ones we trounced through.
Okay. Next is The Wall in Port du Soleil, France/Switzerland. Number 5, Gun Barrel, Heavenly.
Mm.
We saw that one. Now, mind you...
I skied across it, technically.
We skied across it.
Yes.
Now,
there's the cut through.
Mind you, we were there... Well, we were there a couple years, well, several years ago, and I hadn't skied in almost 10 years, and I could barely get down a regular run.
I wish I had some, like, soft music, you know, the piano going, and this is his story. It was 10 years ago.
It was pretty much the Incredible Hulk sad walking away music, me trying to ski that first day.
Okay, so you are admitting that.
Oh, that was a train wreck. It was a train wreck beyond train wreck. And you know what's so great about that? If you saw me now, you would think... This mofo has been skiing every day for the last 35 years of his life.
This modest mofo.
This modest mofo.
I'd be like, I can't believe that he didn't kill himself.
Ripping and tearing now. But yeah, Gun Barrel. I remember looking at it after, not skiing for 10 years and being like, what kind of asshole would ski this thing?
Well, the best part is they have the Olympic Training Center right at the bottom of that.
Oh.
And those dudes are just flying
just
down.
Bombing it. It's crazy. So awesome. Yeah.
Somebody was telling us, I think it was one of the guys from our ski house, I guess they run a competition where they ski down that, and they try to see within a certain amount of time how many runs you can get in. Remember?
It's almost like a time trial, right?
Yeah, and I guess they do it every year, and it's just like you just beat yourself up going down that, I mean, just one time, and these guys are trying to go as many times as they can.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
Pretty crazy.
Number 6. Pista Ventina, Zermatt, Switzerland to Cervinia, Italy.
Boom, we were there.
We did that a couple years ago, and it's you pretty much feel like you are on top of Earth skiing through the Alps. I mean, that was – I took a video of that. I had at that time we didn't have any GoPros or anything. I had an iPhone, and I had it tucked into my strap on my Camelback. So it was vertical, which kind of sucked. But, I mean, I think it was like a 23-minute – cruise. I mean, you really weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't really skiing much. You were just kind of tucked in and cruising a little bit. I mean, a little bit of hoofing a bit, but I mean, it was unreal. I mean, you're just looking up and you just see the Matterhorn and the Alps on both sides of you. It's unbelievable.
What they are so beautiful. Sunny day, just crisp. Ugh.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
I remember when we went over to Italy on that run to traverse to get over there. It took like almost 2 hours, like an hour and 45 minutes. And there was no delays. We were just catching, you know, the tram to the lift, we got all the way over there. And I remember we did like a few runs and then we're like, let's eat lunch. And then you're in this beautiful Italian, it was a hotel right on the mountain, and you're in this beautiful hotel, you know, quaint, you know, and ate some great food. And we're like, we got to start getting back or we're going to get stuck over here in Italy. And I was like, that wouldn't be so bad.
But yeah, right. Well, that's what they were saying. They said, make sure you bring your passports.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're a little, they can be a little flaky with the lifts. They can close at 3 maybe or 3:30. So, you know, we made sure we got back in time. But the food we had there, I mean, it was Italy, amazing. Oh, I mean, I'm still thinking about the raviolis. These handmade, handcrafted little bags of cheese. That's what they look like, more than raviolis that we're used to, like, you know, Chef Boyardee nonsense. Little crafted bags of pasta and cheese. They were unreal.
Breaking for lunch and eating a nice meal like that, it's like, all right, I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're so hungry.
But then we started looking at the time, we're like, we're going to miss the lift.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Because it wasn't like catching the lift. Like, the lifts will still run. But if you miss that midpoint, I think it was the
well, because you had to go to like three different lifts just to get back, because you had to go up from Cervinia and then take another, it was a tram, a lift and a tram, and then the glacier you had to go across.
You had to pass that high point, which is the Monte Rosa, I think it was, and that's where the glacier was. And if you don't pass that point, you're kind of screwed by 2 o'clock. Right. And that was the whole thing. Like, you got to be there by, oh no, you had to be there by 4, but you had to pass there by, you had to start going over there by like 2 or something like that.
Because of how long it took. Yeah.
How long it took.
But it was so unbelievable. It was fantastic. Then number 7, we got goat at Stowe. Now, I've been to Stowe twice, and neither were the right conditions to get onto goat, but it's supposed to be just steep and narrow and just awesome.
Last time we were at Stowe, we thought we were going to die in the gondola. Remember that windy day?
We were on a gondola, and the two of us are looking at a map, and all of a sudden this gust of wind hits, and would you say that thing went 30 degrees, pretty much to the side?
It went to the side, and wow. I've never been scared in a gondola, and that time I thought we were going to die.
I've never experienced that in a gondola.
And it was an unassuming day.
It was just the two of us in that gondola. And all of a sudden, we're looking at the map like, oh, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. And then all of a sudden, just from the side.
It was kind of funny now you look at it, but I was like, I almost crapped my pants. I thought we were really going to fall.
And that was the goddamn day we were denied Hetty Topper. So yes. I'm like, if I'm going to die and not have Hetty Topper, like, this is bullshit.
We did find Hetty Topper after that.
We did. So we did win the day eventually.
Oh, that was so windy that day.
Oh. Brutal.
And they started, sucked. Like, we got off, and they're like, oh, we're going to close it down. Like, we were on that thing.
Yeah, that was such a shit day.
Yeah.
And then last one is La Vallée Blanche in Chamonix, France. So I will post links to all of these awesome links so you guys can check it out. And if you have any other feedback or any other, you know, you want to comment, let us know. Facebook, Twitter, go to the website, skibumpodcast.com. You can get all the links to all of our social media there. All right, so that's all we got for news this week. If you have any comments or you want to check out the links, go to skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up there. All of our links, social media there as well. Or you can email us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Mario, what's next?
Oh, it's time for Around the Horn.
It is certainly time for Around the Horn.
It's a rocket speed round of Around the Horn.
That's true. We have some really good stuff this week, again.
As always.
We've had some really good stuff lately.
Yeah, I like the Around the Horn. It's kind of fun.
We're kind of like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, but less professional and less on HBO.
And with less of a budget.
Way less of a budget. And with much cooler stories, let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
A little more lighthearted. So,
well, if he's listening, he could, you know, ask to be on our show, maybe. You know, that'd be kind of
fun. We can squeeze him in.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll need another microphone. All right, what do you got?
So, Red Bull sponsors the Congo River Kayak First Descent. And I tell you what, I saw this and I was like, I got to watch the video. So it's a long video online. You could watch it. It's just out there. I think it was like an hour and 20 minutes or something. So you flip through it, you look for the good parts that you want. But I got to watch the whole thing. There's actually a cool background to it. And these guys, they go down the Congo River. It's amazing. And you don't realize how big that river is and dangerous. And they have like whirlpools and... They said they were getting dysentery while they were the whole time. They were it's pretty amazing, but it was just interesting, pretty cool to see something like that.
The Congo River, and that's like a full length movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting to see. Like, there's still places that people haven't gone or done stuff that we're still able to have people do first ascents, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the Congo is the second largest river in the world by discharge after the Amazon. Mm. So there you go.
It looked terrifying.
Yeah, it looked pretty brutal. So we'll have to watch that video. So check it out and let us know what you guys think of it.
Cool. All right, what do you got?
What do I have? So it's been a pretty big week in the world of podcasting. Last week, President Barack Obama was on Mark Maron's WTF podcast, which was pretty cool. I listened to it yesterday. And, you know, like, politics aside, whether you agree or disagree with the guy, he's a very likable guy. And when you hear an interview with him, it felt very real. I know, like, when they talked to Mark Maron, he was saying there was no real discussion ahead of time saying, like, oh, you don't mention this, don't mention that. And they really bounce off each other pretty well. It was very entertaining. Definitely worth checking out. If you go to his WTFpodcast.com site, you can listen to it there. And he even created a new website for it. And I had it up before, but now I can't seem to find it. I think it was Mark Meets Obama.
Oh, nice.
That's what it was called. And there's all these pictures. And it's really cool. They're showing, you know, the pictures that they – I mean, this was not just – hey, I'm going to show up, drop off the president, and do a podcast. I mean, it was in his garage.
There's no stopping by on a quick visit.
No, I mean, it took place in Mark Maron's garage where he does his podcast every week. But they had to set up this, like, tent city. And, you know, for security purposes, they had a helicopter flying over. They had a sniper on the roof. I mean, he kind of detailed the pictures, you know, on this website. It's markmeetsobama.com, and it's Mark with a C. And they show all the different pictures. And, I mean, it's crazy. You know, the official presidential napkins, the presidential protective division medallion that they gave to Mark and the producer. Wow. It's pretty cool. It's worth checking out. And the podcast, it was really good. So that's worth checking out, too.
I'd like to see him sit down with Cheech Marin, too. That'd be kind of nice.
That would also be a good podcast.
That would be a wild in a different way, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the next thing I got, so Gmail finally added an undo send tool.
Very valuable.
You know how you're on Gmail? Like, I have Gmail as my aggregator for all my mail now, just because it's easier. I could check
mail
it at work
aggregator.
So I have a company phone, and I don't want all my personal emails on there. So it's kind of like I could do Gmail, and then it aggregates to Gmail, and I just get it through the web, so it's not storing anything on my phone. You still worry about stuff on Gmail, but now when I send something, I send it through Gmail, and it's like, if you send something you don't want out there, you're like, oh, crap, I can't. There's no recall message, you know what I mean? Which, that probably wouldn't work anyway, but.
So how does that work? Is there, like, a timeline where it gives you, like, you know, you have 30 seconds to undo this email?
There's a little timer, and it makes you freak. No. They're only rolling it out. It was a UK feed. And the undo function, you choose how much you want in your window. So you either do 10, 20, or 30 seconds that you allow the cancellation. So what it does is you send it, and it sits there for 10, 20, 30 seconds, whatever your setting is, and then it'll send it out. So it delays the send in case you realize, like, oh, crap, I didn't want to send that. So it's kind of you protecting yourself from, oh, I didn't really mean to. But it's like a 30-second undo, so it's like a beat the clock.
Yeah, I mean, I just picture you hitting the button and being like, you know, the countdown starting, you know, like Mission Impossible or something. Like,
you check your lottery tickets, you think you won the jackpot and you're a millionaire, you send an email telling everybody that you work with, screw you, I never want to see you again, haha, I never liked you. And then you realize, oh my God, I checked the wrong tickets for the wrong day.
The wrong date.
And you didn't really win. And then you want to recover it. Mm-hmm. Now you have 10 seconds, like 24, like that. That thing is just counting down and like beep, beep.
The moral of the story is don't be an asshole to start and this won't be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Always have a cool off period of like 5 minutes after like writing an email, save it to draft, and then decide if you truly want to send it.
I've written emails about 6 or 8 times when I'm really pissed off because you just want to rewrite it and get some feedback and wait a little and then you send it later. So.
If you were in Colorado, you wouldn't have that problem.
I hear you. If I didn't have to work every day, it would be great. But they're actually, so the article that I read was actually people are coming up with, you know, they should do this with Twitter as well. Because Twitter can be a little rough, a little brutal. Especially if you say something that you really shouldn't say on Twitter, then everybody piles on.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
All right, so what are you...
My next story. So, you know, keeping on the podcast theme, there was an article in Pace Magazine last week, The Podcast Hall of Fame, Meet the Men and Women Who Changed Podcasting.
Nice.
So seeing as how, you know, there's this, you know, Serial came out a few months ago, which is a podcast, you know, it's kind of a story-based podcast, This American Life from NPR, Us. There's a lot of big news in podcasting, you know, a lot of big things happening in 2015. It's getting popular again. So this article talks about, you know, some of the pioneers. First one is Adam Curry, the former MTV VJ, who is considered the podfather. After leaving MTV.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, right? He built an internet business during the dot-com boom.
It's amazing. Like, I thought he was a VJ, and then he disappeared, and here he is.
No, yeah, he's doing he's doing his No Agenda show with John C. Dvorak, Daily Source. And, yeah, he's still doing his thing. Leo Laporte, who, you know, the tech guy from Tech TV, who was I loved his show back in the day. That Tech TV, I mean, I used to be watch that, the Screensavers.
Nice.
That was great. He's still doing his This Week in Tech. He's got his whole Twit network.
He was the one that was with CNET for a while, right? And then
ZDNet.
Oh, ZDNet. Yeah.
Well, he has his radio show too.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got he's still doing his thing. They have tons of shows on twit.tv.
Nice.
This Week in Tech, This Week in Google, This Week in Apple, like tons and tons of stuff. Scott Sigler, who is a science fiction and fantasy author. Mer Lafferty. She was first and foremost a writer looking for a way to express herself.
Hmm. Good way to get out there, right?
Yeah, and Todd Cochran. He was an executive producer of Geek News Central and who started a book podcasting, The Do-It-Yourself Guide.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So what do you got, Mario? What's next?
So I think, well, we had a few things that we were talking about. You had some fitness tips from Outside Magazine.
Did I?
Which, you were telling me about them, and I got to read the full article because it sounds like some good cross training and cross sport tips.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things from a lot of, you know, famous athletes. And one of the ones that I liked, one of the highlights in this for me, was about cross training with the right sport. So it says, runners, cycling maintains leg strength and cardio fitness while giving you a break from impact on your joints.
Hell yeah.
Cyclists, running and rowing develop strength in the torso, quads, and glutes. Climbers, calisthenics use body weight resistance to build strength without adding bulk. Swimmers, rowing builds key strength in the shoulders, arms, legs, and torso. Kayakers, swimming works the arms, shoulders, and torso, improving power and range of motion. So that's just one of the different tips. And there's just, you know, build functional strength, what you should do. Don't overdo it. Listen to your heart. Stretching is no joke. So there's a lot of great tips. We'll post that on the show notes so you can check it out and get more information.
Wow. So where do the Kegel exercise fit in? Is that
everyone should do them all the time.
You're going to prison maybe? Or
I'm actually doing them right now.
That's too much information.
TMI. Hey, you brought it up.
all right. What's the... next one you got?
So the next one that I got, this week, Alfa Romeo just unveiled their new, for 2016, new car called the Giulia.
Giulia.
And that's spelled G-I-U-L-I-A. And it is an absolute gorgeous, gorgeous car. And it's looking to rival the BMW 3 Series or the Mercedes, you know, C-Class. And the one they showed here at the Milan, I think it was the auto show.
Yeah, Milan is a big one.
Yeah, they were just showing it. And in their top-of-the-line Quadrifoglio edition, it is going to be a 510-horsepower twin-turbo V6, 3-liter twin-turbo V6 that built by Ferrari. And it's going to have the option of being all-wheel drive, and you can get it with a manual transmission.
Wow.
Oh, it's one of those cars. It's, you could say it's ugly, but it's like gorgeous in its ugliness.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I look at it, it looks like a nice car, but it doesn't look like an Alfa. I don't know. I'm thinking old Alfa Romeos.
Yeah, I mean, it is a four-door sedan. That's the one thing about it. Yeah. But I've been just coveting this car ever since I saw it yesterday for the first time.
You gonna drive up? Can you drive to the ski mountain in that?
All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive. That works.
Yeah. Throw some snow tires on there.
Boom.
Rack on top. Good to go.
Good to go. So I did a bike ride 2 weeks ago. 65-mile ride. The end of the bike ride, I have a picture. I could probably, well, I don't know if it's okay to post the picture, but there was a guy with a Ferrari that had a bike rack on the back of it, and he put his bike on there, and I was like, that is the most ghetto thing I've ever seen.
It is really ghetto.
I was just like, and there was a few people that were like, while that's kind of cool to see, I was like, why the hell would you do that?
Yeah, you should probably buy like a Ford Escape or something.
It wasn't
make that
even
your little SUV for your adventure
you figure
journeys.
You figure you could afford it.
You probably could swing that, yeah.
You probably swing that.
Just don't get the optional like $8,000 brakes on the car and use that to buy a used Explorer or something.
Yeah. And the funniest part was it wasn't even like a really nice, like made for this Ferrari bike rack. It was like a regular bike rack that the dude just strapped on there. I was like, that just seems wrong.
Yeah, so you don't wrong. See that every day.
So very wrong.
Yeah. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, I have one more awesome story. So this has apparently been a now infamous ebook that I just discovered today, which is absolutely hysterical. And I saw it because there was a story on Tech Dirt about a lawsuit regarding it. So this book is called A Gronking to Remember. And I don't know, all you football fans out there are familiar with Rob Gronkowski, the tight end for the New England Patriots. Mario, I know you're a big fan.
Yes, I'm a big anti-fan.
So there's apparently this ebook that was created by this author, quote-unquote, Lacey Noonan. And it's I got to read the description because it's just fantastic. A Gronky to Remember is the book one in the Rob Gronkowski erotica series. The story is about Lee, and Lee is a serious problem, and it's driving a quote-unquote spike between her and her husband, Dan. When Lee wanders into the room where her husband and his friends are watching a football game, her life changes forever because at that moment, NFL's one-man wrecking ball, Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots, scores a touchdown and does his patented Gronk spike, his notorious monster smashing of a football. When the ball shoots into the stratosphere, Lee's heart goes pitter-patter, and she becomes seriously turned on. Now, normally sheepish Lee can't stop thinking about it. She'd never given a second thought to football, but now the primal power of the Gronk spike and this raw monster of a man, Rob Gronkowski, is all that she wants, and she'll stop at nothing. Nothing until the romance of a lifetime is hers.
Yeah, that's probably the most uncomfortable reading I think you've ever done on this podcast.
Yes. I mean, I'm like sweating and chilling just reading it.
At least I didn't have to call you out. Andrew's like, I can't even watch this.
It's 68 pages long, and the Amazon reviews, there's 81 of them, and the reviews are probably more hysterical than the book itself.
I'm just wondering, like, how did you find this? What kind of crazy stuff are you looking on the internet?
No, I actually found it on TechDirt, which is like a tech news aggregator, and the reason why I saw that on there was because the book cover has some Gronk pictures in the background, and there's this couple in the front. And what apparently was happening is that this couple is suing Amazon because their likeness was used without their agreement.
That's why I can't post the picture of the Ferrari with the bike rack.
Same
reason. I don't want to get sued.
So, yes, a Gronk needs to remember. Remember, there's only 185 days left till Christmas. So you might want to get some copies of...
It's like the Smirnoff Ice. Gronking. You've been gronked.
Do you remember?
Instead of ice. You've been gronked.
That's right.
Girls laying there. Man, you've been gronked.
Like my nipples hurt from reading that. Like I'm sweating. Like I feel weird after reading that.
All right. So
we do too, just so you know. Watching you read that.
Yeah. So give you a gronking to remember, gruh.
Or like he, you know. Girl sitting there in bed. He walks out of the room, and his buddies, like his football buddies, running. You've been gronked.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very weird.
There was a story about him this week saying that he hasn't spent any of his football money that he's made so far.
Good, he's a smart man.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. All of it, everything he's spent, has been from endorsements.
Cool.
So
nice to see when guys, you know, do the right thing.
Won't end up on that 30 for 30 broke.
And that's you just don't you don't want to end up on a 30 for 30.
Oof, not in that way, no way.
Yeah, or have them do a special on you for bad. Like it's just yeah.
Yeah.
Because it could happen.
Yep. It can.
But so and anything coming out of the Android factory?
Well, I don't know. I've kind of been checking out the after season sales, and yeah. I need a new pair of mittens really bad. Yeah. Really, really bad.
Are your hands freezing?
You know, it's more a question of, I mean, I wear liners when I, you know, if it's like below 20.
Mittens are supposed to be a lot warmer because the liner helps, both, but the mittens keep your fingers together. And
yeah, and maybe it's just because I have bad circulation. I don't really know, but I prefer mittens, yeah, because they're warmer for me. And then, you know,
yeah,
it's more comfortable.
It's funny looking at new products. Like, there's so many different brands and different versions and styles, and
it's hard to know which one is better than the other. And
I mean, like you said, Mario. I think I don't want anything too high maintenance, but better quality than I had before for sure. But there's some great sales I was just looking at, so we'll see.
Yeah, Brian and I were talking about the Hestras, and I was like, they seem like great gloves. I mean, I've tried them on, and I don't own a pair, but the one thing that keeps me from owning is I don't want to rub anything down with oil.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the gloves or anything like that. It's just...
Lay you down. Fine, fine.
I don't want to have that experience with my gloves. I don't want to have to, you know, a nice can of light, rub them down with a little oil.
You're not an R&B skier.
That's right. I just want to, like, take them, throw them in the wash. And
fine, fine.
So if you got him some Hestras, that's what you'd have to look forward to.
Yeah. I was actually just looking at Hestra. So.
And then you're talking about an iron, right?
Yeah, there was a, you know, there's, so at our apartment building, someone was throwing out an old iron, and I was looking at it thinking, oh, this could be my new ski wax iron. But I opted to not be ghetto and not take the old iron. There was some sort of weird brownness on it, so I don't know what that was.
Oh, you didn't say there was weird brownness. I was like, oh, if it's an iron, just take it. You're going to use it for wax.
What's a big deal? I think someone melted something gross on it.
See, the odd brownness. Yeah, you can't.
It was the Jell-O pudding pop.
He's so full of
got a little zoo, zoo, zoo on that thing.
A little flim-flarm on there. All right, this is spiraling out of control now. Anything else, guys?
No, I'm good.
No.
All right, cool. We're going to wrap this up. I want to thank Andrea so much for being on the podcast this week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor having you.
You're going to have to come back.
I would love to.
All right.
I had a blast.
Definitely.
All right, and you can check us out at SkiBumPodcast.com. All our social media links are on there, or send us an email at SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week.
Stay high, stay polluting.
There you go. Boom.
Peace.